tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 30th of January 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week. We didn't get to restream the Holocaust Summit because the servers got hacked, unfortunately. But we will hopefully have those podcasts for you the week after next. But we do actually have our co-host here for today. We have Grandpa Dan with us here today, rested after his long weekend that he took last week. Grandpa Dan, how are you doing? Did you have a nice weekend off?
It was freezing cold and we had ice and snow everywhere. We had the big winter event. Everybody ran out and bought all the toilet paper off the shelf. I never understand it. I don't know if that's just an American thing, but if there's any kind of a big event, the first thing they do is run out and buy all the toilet paper off the shelf. For a 3-day weather event, but we had snow and ice everywhere. Couldn't hardly get out and about, and I survived. Yes, I managed to survive, and here we are back again.
Yeah, we have the same over here in Britain. People tend to go out and buy all the toilet roll. We've had some cold weather. It seems to be okay at the moment, and it's starting to get lighter during the afternoons again, which is nice. And spring is on its way, and life carries on. And of course, feminism carries on, and wokeness carries on. And this week, we're going to be taking a look at a feminist author who claims that William Shakespeare was in fact a black Jewish woman. And I'm taking this from GB News. William Shakespeare was a black Jewish woman, a shocking new book has claimed. In a newly published work by feminist historian Irene Coslett, the author has claimed Britain's most famous playwright was in fact a woman named Emilia Bassano. The Real Shakespeare, released by Pen and Sword Books, identifies Bassano as a poet who maintained connections with the Tudor court during the Elizabethan era. The book's central thesis maintains Bassano composed the Shakespeare canon under the pen name Shakespeare. According to the work's arguments, an uneducated individual from Stratford-upon-Avon, recognised today as William Shakespeare, subsequently appropriated her writings. And I'll just pause there because he wasn't uneducated. He went to a grammar school. So I'm not quite sure why they put that there. Perhaps they're saying that this woman that was claiming to be William Shakespeare, perhaps they were uneducated. I would definitely say that the woman who came up with this thesis is uneducated, but then it does tell us that she's a feminist historian, so she clearly lives in cloud cuckoo land anyway. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the problem with this work, as I say, obviously neither one of us have read the book, in all fairness. We have not read the book, and I have no intention of reading the book. You could not pay me to sit through and read the book. The problem is the book should have been called something like Shakespeare Reimagined and presented as a work of fiction. And then there wouldn't be any problem with this. You know, make Shakespeare a frog. I don't care. When you have a situation where they're trying to, you know, this is trying to be put forth as factual, as nonfiction, that's where you're in trouble. Because as we get through the story here, you start seeing lots of tells, lots of things like, you know, like what ifs. They use terms like, but what if, and suppose that, you know, which is kind of a giveaway that, yes, obviously they're making it up. Now, as a lot of cases with this, there can be a little kernel in there. I've read just glanced over, I don't know, I not super interested in it, but I have read some theories where Shakespeare's work were written by someone else, a fellow by the name of Thomas North, and I've found some of that stuff to be fairly compelling, in that Shakespeare actually basically plagiarized Thomas North. I've never heard of this woman being presented here, because obviously they're fitting a narrative here. And it cracked me up, because it's like they went through, the author of this just went through checking off boxes like they work for Netflix or something. You know, let's see, who are we going to make the real William Shakespeare? A woman, check. Black, check. What else can we check off here? Lesbian? No, let's go with a Jew too, check. You know, maybe there's going to be a sequel to the book and we'll find out she was a lesbian too. It just went through and did check boxes. And again, I wouldn't have any problem with this if it was presented as fiction. Like I said, if it was titled Shakespeare Reimagined, and then they could go through and do their whole what ifs. And that's whatever, you know, anybody can write a book. But to present this as some sort of serious, like they did serious research, and hey, they have come up with this literal who and decided that, yes, this person is the real William Shakespeare. It's just more laughable silliness. Of course, you know, it's, as you said, this quote unquote woke nonsense. It's glad to see it's still alive and well over in Britain, Span. Are you going to run out and buy the book? It'll give you something to read on the dreary, dreary British weather days.
I don't think so. All my time is kept up with making Radio Albion content and trying to keep up with the anime that you got me addicted to. But going back to this article here, it seems to me that we do actually have a record that there were black people in Britain in Elizabethan times. So because there is a record of there being black people there, this author has clearly looked at that and thought, well, what if one of these black people happened to be half Jewish, and if they happened to write William Shakespeare? And then she sort of convinced herself to believe it. But the interesting thing about the fact that we have this record of black people being in Britain at this time is that Queen Elizabeth ordered them all to be expelled from the country. She said, what's going on here? We have black people that are enslaved, that are working, that are being fed, when we have white people that are starving and not being fed, and these black slaves are in actual fact better off than the white serfs, who are not owned by anybody, and there's no requirement for them even to be fed, whereas these black people are being fed. So she said, I'm not having this, and we need to get all of these blackamoors, she called them, or these people, expelled from the country. And she paid a captain to take them all and to take them to Spain, and it was all arranged. And I think there was possibly a couple of hundred of them in the country at the time. And it's interesting because it shows you that the actual status of a slave was higher than the status of a serf. And that is what the concern was here. And the white people were unemployed. There was no need for them to be fed, but the blackamoors were seen as being employed. So there was a need for them to be fed. And it shows you that Elizabeth's loyalty was to her own people. So I don't really see that Elizabeth's loyalty could have been more to this sort of black Jewish person than to her white subjects. But getting back to the article here, Coslett's work argues Western-centric and Eurocentric ideology spanning centuries has kept the real story of the play's authorship concealed. The thesis goes on to question how an individual from Stratford, characterised as a semi-illiterate moneylender, could have achieved such erudition. It describes Pisano as possessing both Jewish and Moorish ancestry, and acknowledges that existing portraits depict Pisano with light skin. However, it proposes that portraitists may have deliberately lightened her complexion as flattery, since Elizabethan England considered pale skin aesthetically desirable. I think it's the other way around. I think back then, I guess this is like 300 years ago, I think that Moors and even Arabs had much lighter skin. It's only in the last couple of centuries that they've interbred with sub-Saharan Africans and their skin colour has darkened. I mean, when you look at images of Moors, most of the time they are depicted as white. And we even have white people that still have green eyes and fair skin. that are in America. I momentarily forget the Berbers. That's it. That's their name. The Berbers that are from Africa and North Africa was originally peopled by white people. Anyway, it was settled by the Phoenicians. Then it was run by the Romans. After that, by the Germanic tribes. And then you have these Berbers and you have these Moors. And I don't think this Moor certainly wasn't black. Otherwise, they would have been included with these group that Queen Elizabeth was calling blackamoors. And also, I don't think William Shakespeare, he wasn't a moneylender. He wasn't semi-illiterate either. As I say, he went to a grammar school. And it was Jews that were moneylenders. Perhaps she's getting confused here. And this it's this Jewish person that she actually means to say is the one that is semi-illiterate. It's all very confusing. Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
It's always important. That's why I believe it's so important to have a mindset where the truth matters. Because if it doesn't, you have people like the author of this book to where basically the truth is just whatever they want it to be. It's not a actual concrete thing. It's just what they want it to be. Here we have the first tale I was referring to earlier. You know, the portraitists may have deliberately. So right off bat, they have the theory that this was a black Jewish woman. And again, putting those two things together strikes me as just checking off boxes. But then they admit any kind of portraits they have found of this person, they're not black at all. So they just say, well, they may have, not they definitely did, may have. So we see these tales through this, that this person is just making it up. Again, if the book was presented as a work of fiction, you know, just reimagining the social dynamics, how things could have been different, then great. You know, I mean, somebody wants to be entertained by a story like that, that's fine, but it should be classified as fiction. The big rub here is they're trying to portray this as some sort of actual research was done in these shocking discoveries. Nobody's going to buy this book, by the way. You know, it's going to be a nothing burger, but somebody published it. This woman wrote it. And it's obviously just fantasy in her mind. She just made the story up. And again, if it's a work of fiction, so, you know, so be it. But I just thought it was funny that they have to admit that any kind of portrait you find of this woman that she's claiming is the real Shakespeare, she doesn't even look black. But hey, the people painting the pictures may have just made her look lighter or something. Well, then you could apply that. You know, you could apply that to anything. Maybe Queen Elizabeth was actually black, but when they painted her portraits, they made her look white. You know, leave it up to Netflix. They'll probably do that. They probably already have. I don't watch it. So, no, you have people, though, again, that the truth doesn't matter to them. Somebody like this, and obviously I don't personally know this writer, this author of this book, but we know the type. The truth is not an actual tangible thing. It's whatever they want it to be. She wants the truth to be this, so she just creates a story that paints it up as that's how it is. Obviously, it's not. It's complete fiction. But to that person, to the author of this book, that's what it is, because that's what they want it to be, because the truth doesn't matter. The truth is just simply the world as they imagine it, not the world as it is. And so they present this as actual, you know, as an actual factual thing. And obviously not. They have to even admit that the portrait, the person doesn't look black. So what are we even doing here? Did they go back in time and take an actual snapshot of the person proving they're black? No, they're literally making this up. It's fiction, but they're presenting it as an actual history, you know, an actual historical record that has been uncovered. And there's, from what I can see here, there's literally nothing backing it up.
Yeah, I think it's probably just because they want to get more feminist authors out there. They want to get more black authors, books about black people. And in order to do that, they have to turn history on its head. I mean, even when you look at history, when you look at eyewitness reports that were written at the time of the event in history, that needs to be accorded more weight than anything that was written since then, because clearly that was an eyewitness at the time. And if there is no record of anybody challenging that eyewitness and saying they are wrong, then you have to assume that eyewitness is going to be more accurate than somebody writing in 100 years' time. So for her to say that maybe the portrait painters got it wrong and they painted her with pale skin because they didn't want to paint her as black. No, that's not the way that you look at it. That you have to look at that and say that's going to be the most accurate that there is, because they were literally painting that woman in front of them. So why would they change that? And if they had changed it, there would be a record of people saying, well, that doesn't actually look like the person you just painted. You lightened her skin. And that didn't happen. So clearly what her thesis didn't happen, that the portrait painters lightened the skin. But the volume concludes, the English-speaking world has a mother with a multicultural identity, describing Bassano as the mother of a civilization. Speaking to the Telegraph, Coslett stated, if Shakespeare was a female of colour, this would draw attention to issues of peace and justice in society. What if women had a pivotal role and a civilizing impact in history, but they have been silenced, belittled, and erased from the dominant narrative? The historian added, what would a paradigm shift reveal about ourselves? Such a reflection challenges us to reconsider our understanding of society. Well, if women had had a pivotal role in history, I don't think we would have civilization, because it's men that built all of the civilization. It's men that built all of these systems that we have, and just pretty much everything. And men do these things to provide for the women. It's the woman that wants decorates the house and says how she wants the house decorated and says what she wants, and men go out and provide that for them. That's the way that things are done. So women have had a role as inspiring the men to build this civilization, but women themselves didn't have any impact on the civilization itself, because that's just not the way that things are. Not women were there, were needed to look after the children there. To say here that the English-speaking world has a mother with a multicultural identity, I mean, it's really only really a Black Histories author that could go from claiming that Shakespeare was actually black to then claiming that the whole origin of Western civilization was a black woman, a black mother. So these great big leaps of faith here. And again, I think this woman probably only got a place on the university course because of a diversity quota. Clearly, if she doesn't know anything about the first rule of history, of when looking at eyewitnesses here, clearly she was put on that course for another reason. And I would suggest, I may not be right, but I would make a guess that this woman is actually black. But I haven't been able to actually find any images of her, unfortunately. Grandpa, what do you think about this? Do you think we have a mother with a multicultural identity of our civilization?
Well, people, if you listen to people long enough, they'll tell you what they're about. They will tell you, not meaning to, but they will tell you the truth. And this little bit that you just read here reveals, you know, what this is about. We see more of these tells, you know, if Shakespeare was a female. Wait a minute. What do you mean if? I thought you're presenting this as a historical record, as you have found proof of it. But when they say if Shakespeare was a female of color, this would draw attention to issues of what? Peace and justice in society. So they're telling us, they're admitting to us, again, people, if you listen to people long enough, you just, one of the things I found is, if just let people talk, don't interrupt them, just let them talk. And even if they're giving you a line of BS, eventually they will tell you what they're about and why they're doing what they're doing. Even if you know they're lying, you don't need to interrupt them. Just let them keep talking and they'll tell you, this is what this is about. Justice. So it's a social justice thing. This is why they're writing this fake history. And it's fake. It's they're admitting the tells are there. If Shakespeare. Well, I thought you were telling us that that's what it was. What do you mean? If. What if? Here, the next line. What if women had a pivotal role in a civilizing impact in history? But they've been, this is a fantasy. What if? But the book is being presented to the public as a new history, as an actual record. But what are we getting here? And again, the author themselves is telling us, what if? It's a theory. What if? If it was framed as fiction and you wanted to present how it would change society and whatnot, then fine, write it as fiction. But you don't get to have your cake and eat it too. You don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to have a book and say, oh, this is a new history we've discovered. Shakespeare is a black Jewish woman who's probably a lesbian or whatever. make the lesbian claim. But again, they probably just didn't think of it at the time. You know, and claim that. And then, though, you said, well, what if? You know, what if? What would a paradigm shift reveal about ourselves? Such a reflection challenges us to reconsider our understanding of society. That's what they're after. This is the agenda they've told us. So we don't have to sit here and say, well, this person doesn't know what they're talking about, or maybe they're misunderstood. No, they're telling us why they've written this, why they've made up this work of fiction, and what their agenda is. They're telling us about themselves. They're telling us about why they're doing this. And more importantly, because again, anyone could write a book, but good luck on getting it published. So then you ask, well, why was this book published? Why is it being marketed? Why is this person with their fantasies being presented as actual history being interviewed by the Telegraph and telling us what if and all of the rest of this? Those are the real questions. You start asking, okay, well, why is this being, you know, why is this more this being pushed out here? But they tell us what the agenda is. This is why these sorts of things are being written and being presented to the public. It's more social engineering. I can't tell you why, but I can't help but make a connection to, you know, Prevent's video game, you know, it's about, with the Amelia character, you know, and they're just shocked that it got memed and you know people having fun with it. It's an agenda. It's all part of a wider agenda. And they think if they can keep just cramming this down the people's throats, then they can turn their fiction into a reality. If they keep preaching their fiction and shoving it down people's throats, then eventually their fiction will actually become truth, will actually become reality because they say it is. And when you look at the ham-handed way they're going about it, I don't think it's going to work. I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to have nearly the success, but they can't think of anything else, so they just keep doubling down.
Well, it is a method of deception, isn't it? Say, well, it could have happened. Therefore, if I say it happened, people should believe me. And if they don't, then they're being unreasonable. I mean, that's the way that people who are lying, that's the way that they think, well, it's believable that that could have happened. Therefore, it did happen. And we do have cases where people have convinced themselves where something happened. I mean, there was a Holocaust survivor who had convinced himself that what happened to him was real. And when he was discovered, he said, well, it was real in my mind. It was real in my mind. And I can also remember we did a podcast on a Nigerian who was pretending to be a professor. And he could have been a professor, but he wasn't. But he could have been a professor. So he said that he was a professor. And I think he got invited to speak at Oxford because he was claiming to be a professor. And that was another episode that we did of this podcast. So I think there's a little bit of that here. And she's thinking, well, this could have happened. Therefore, I'll write it as my thesis. And if anybody challenges it, they're being unreasonable because it could have happened. Well, the volume's conclusion asserts, in the case of Amelia Bassano, the problem is not only historiographical misogyny, but also historiographical racism. Amelia Bassano was a Moor. She was a Jew. Modern historians failed to give credit to these identities for their role and contribution in Western history. So, I mean, she's saying what's happening here is it's because men hate women. That's why we said that William Shakespeare actually wrote his plays rather than this woman. And what is she saying here about giving credit to these identities for their role and contribution in Western history? I mean, what was Moorish contributions to Western history? Didn't they come over to try and snatch Irish people to take them away as slaves back to North Africa, back to Tangiers and Morocco? And wasn't it something like over a million white people were actually enslaved by that method, by the Moors coming in and invading Europe and just snatching white women and taking them back to North Africa? And what is the Jewish contribution to Western history? Well, the Jewish contribution to Western history was primarily as a moneylender and running banks. And it wasn't until the last century, the last 20th century, that they had so much influence that these prizes were set up, like the Nobel Prize, and And then you saw Jewish professors like Einstein being lionized. And over the last century, we have lots of Jewish people that supposedly have brought us all these wonderful things. But then is it just a coincidence that also we have Jewish people that own the companies that are promoting these Jewish people for the things that they have invented? As I say, things like the Nobel Peace Prize and various other prizes and awards that we have. Is it just a coincidence that the people that give out these prizes are mainly Jewish and that the people that win these prizes are Jewish? As I say, if you look at the rest of history, Jews were moneylenders. That's what they did. I'm not making a value judgment about that. I mean, we do need money, but they were moneylenders up until about the 20th century. And then things changed after they were given citizenship, basically. So I don't know what role and what contribution she is actually referring to about Moors and Jews. Moors certainly haven't done anything in the last century. I mean, that's from centuries back that I don't really think anybody even is considered to be a Moor today. It's a rather an old term. Grandpa, what do you think of this? What do you think contribution Jews have given to Western history? Have you ever heard of that before?
Well, I'm sorry, but when you start throwing around terms like historiographical misogyny and racism, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, opinion discarded. I mean, because you're telling us, again, people tell you about themselves. This is the agenda. And this person, if this AI thing does what they're saying, these are the people, because, you know, we keep hearing all these stories that, you know, AI is going to replace all of these jobs. You know, AI is going to go out. I'm telling you, we have all these unemployed people. And I maintain that the only people that are going to get replaced primarily by AI are people like the writer of this book that don't have a real job. If you can be replaced by artificial intelligence, you don't have a real job. Because honestly, if you wanted to write this book or, you know, and do this woman's job, AI would do a better job. I mean, AI could paint this up and make it more believable than what this person. She's going to get replaced. People like this are going to get replaced by AI. AI probably would not use historiographical misogyny and racism because the AI would recognize that everybody's just going to turn that off. You have all these people. This person, what I'm saying is this person is getting paid for this garbage, and it is garbage. I'm sorry. And they're not going to be anymore. Why? In other words, the people that want to push this out, who published the book, who's given this person a job, you know, whatever that agenda is, if they can do that for free by using AI, they'll do that. So the people that are going to be out, one of the things I guess I'm sort of kind of maybe looking forward to with the AI thing, if it works out, is that people like this are going to be out of a job. You know, your plumber, your electrician, people that actually do things for a living are in no danger of having their jobs replaced by AI. People like the woman who wrote this book, yeah, she's going to get replaced by AI. And I have to wonder, what's she going to do? Because obviously she doesn't have any actual skill sets. So, you know, at least we may still eventually get presented these ridiculous agendas, but at least it'll be, you know, maybe a little better written, a little better done. If it's done by artificial intelligence, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing. They're still going to continue to push a lie, but they can do it for free and the AI will do a better job. So people like this is who's going to get replaced by artificial intelligence. And then you wonder, what are those people going to do? Because they have no real job sitting around, you know, contemplating historiographical misogyny and racism. That's not a real job. This is just sitting around throwing some word salad together, putting in the appropriate trigger words, checking off boxes. AI could do a better job than this. This person should be thinking forward. They should be forward thinking, thinking about, what am I going to do for a living when artificial intelligence replaces my made up university job and my made up book writing job? Because it could do a better, it could be a better, and it isn't a real high bar here to do a better job. You could just use ChatGPT now and it would do a better job. You know, tell it to write a book about, I made up black figure, you know, doing Shakespeare. It's going to probably do a better job. I don't know. I wonder what these people are going to do for a living whenever the AI replaces them when it comes to their made up historical slop.
Well, I think one of the things this tells us is that there is such a little tiny amount of historiographical misogyny and racism that she has to create her own. I mean, historiographical misogyny, what about the age of chivalry? Weren't women always raised up on a pedestal? They didn't used to have to go out for work. Everything was provided for them. And they were looked upon as in a very, very elevated status. There's no such thing as historiographical misogyny. Women were always seen. Open the door for a lady, lay down your coat over the puddle for a lady, women and children first into the lifeboats. I mean, that's not misogyny, is it? So she has to create her own misogyny here and then lace it with racism as well. That in actual fact, this white person, because we can see the pictures, that they look white. This white person was in actual fact black and also Jewish, according to her. Getting back to the article here, the scholarly consensus holds that Shakespeare was born in Stratford in 1564 to a glovemaker, attended grammar school locally, and married Anne Hathaway at 18. So where did she get this idea from, that he was a moneylender? He's not, didn't come from a moneylender. He was a glovemaker, and he attended grammar school locally. If you attend grammar school, it means that you're more intelligent than everybody else, and you get paid to go to school so that you can learn things because you've shown an aptitude for learning. So that, I mean, the guy wasn't illiterate. That says that he was intelligent and he was well educated. By 1592, Shakespeare had established himself within London's theatrical scene, dying in 1616, while Bassano survived until 1645. Speaking about the story on GB News, activist Iman Aiton was asked by Alex Armstrong whether the publication of the new book meant that Britain's history was being erased. She replied, "I think that it is important to recognise that we are simply rethinking and rewriting history that has discrepancies and lies that have been exposed over the years." So she's quite clear there that, yes, she is rewriting history. I mean, Alex Armstrong, I really don't think very much of that presenter on GB News, but he asked a question here. Does this mean that Britain's history is being erased? And then she said, well, we're rewriting history. So yes, they are erasing Britain's history and they are inserting black people into it that have never been there before. As I say, this period in time, we do know that there were a couple of hundred black people in Britain at the time, and Queen Elizabeth ordered them all to be removed from the country. And then we don't hear of black people in the country again until I think about the 1900s, where you had some in the port areas because they would get on the ships and they would go off to India and what have you. And that was it. They were less than 1% of the population. We've gone from that to non-whites being about 20% of the population. And now they're trying to rewrite our history so that our history is full of them as well as the modern world. Grandpa, what do you think of this? I mean, this is quite an open admission that this is what they are doing. They are rewriting our history. What do you make of this?
I think it very interesting on the part of GB News. You know, this is obviously, you know, they're going out seeking any sort of reputation or affirmation of what the author of this is putting out there. And instead of bringing on, say, somebody with a PhD in actual, you know, British history and asking them about it, they don't do that. Why? Because that would be the logical thing. This person has written this book and made these wild claims with obviously no proof, nothing to back it up. You would think on the part of GB News that they would, okay, well, we're going to bring on this guy. He's got a PhD in British history with a, you know, specializing in this period of time. Let's ask him what he thinks. Instead, what do? They bring on an activist. Well, how the hell is an activist any sort of expert in this? Why are you bringing on an activist that obviously has a dog in this fight, so as to speak? I mean, you're bringing on an activist that you already know what their position is and what they're going to say. I mean, why bother bringing them on at all? You already just know what they're going to say before you get to the quote of what the activist responded with. I already knew. I'm sure you did too. We all already knew what the activist was going to say because it's an activist. You know, I mean, why would you do that? This is just, this is what I mean. It all goes together. You know, this person has written this nonsensical book. It's obviously low quality. Nobody's going to go out and buy it. I feel like I should do my Trump voice. You know, nobody's going to buy this. Nobody's going to buy this book, but it's being promoted. It's in the Telegraph. You got GB News doing it. And they bring out an activist to ask him, well, what do you think? Gee, I don't know. I can't wait to get to the money shot quote. I wonder what this activist thinks. And as you say, of course, let people talk and they will tell you who they are and what they're doing. They're simply rethinking and rewriting history, which is an admission that, yes, indeed, that's exactly what they're doing. Why? Well, because this person is not a historian. This person is not any sort of expert in this field. They're an activist. So what do activists do? Well, they push an agenda, and this is what they're doing. This is all this is, and we know it is. Everybody knows it. Like I say, it's very ham-handed how they're trying to do this, and it's so obvious now. You know, do you think any regular people out there, you know, living their day-to-day lives in Britain that maybe have a passing or, you know, a hobby-tier interest in Shakespeare and his plays, do you think anybody's going to see this and go, wow, I never knew this. Shakespeare was actually a Black Jewish woman. Maybe a lesbian. I don't know. I need to rethink and reimagine. Rethinking and rewriting history. You know, I mean, nobody's buying into this. They're just kind of preaching to the choir. You know, other people, other activists and other people who want to believe this stuff, they'll look at it and go, oh, wow, this is so groundbreaking. This is so, you know, so amazing. It isn't going to sell to anybody else. You know, but they're obviously out of ideas. They don't have any. This is obviously not working. And yet they don't have any original ideas. So they're just going back and just keep slinging more mud to see if something at some point people will say, oh, wow, this is groundbreaking. This is an amazing thing. You know, present us your work. They can't. This is just fantasy now being depicted as reality. And yes, they are admitting rethinking and rewriting history. It's not about discrepancies and lies. That's projection. They're the ones lying and they know it. They think that if they keep telling everybody this, they can use word magic and turn it into reality.
Well, it is certainly being pushed. I mean, it's been pushed in the Jewish press as well. Not just in the Daily Telegraph and in GB News, where it's being criticized, it's also being brought up and treated as a serious thesis, as I say, in the Jewish press. And I have to point out there as well that the reason why GB News had the activist on there is because they have to do that because of Ofcom ruling, and they have to show a balanced point of view, because the second person that they got on, who we'll get into his quote next, he's obviously on the right of politics. So they brought on that activist there to represent the left-wing feminist view, because they do try to present a plurality of views on GB News. Getting back to the quotes here, however, founder of the YouTube channel History Revealed, and History Revealed is quite a good channel. People criticize him for being a Zionist, but I can remember him doing a really good interview with Professor Edward Dutton. The fact that GB News gets people on there that do interviews with Edward Dutton, I think, is a good thing. Well, the founder of the YouTube channel History Revealed told GB News it is absolutely erasing British history. And unfortunately, this is not the first time. Believe me, this is as sinister as it is silly, because major institutions have been laundering this nonsense. So the BBC, for example, made television programs for kids where they claimed that the Roman Emperor Septimus Severus was black. They showed the Roman army that were fighting the Boudicca revolts being mostly black. Of course, a total rubbish. And of course, Netflix, not so long ago, not British history, but still history nevertheless, decided to tell us that Cleopatra was a black woman. So that's quite good, because he's put this into perspective here, and he showed all these other attempts that there are to rewrite British history, and that's why it is sinister. I mean, we make a joke of it because it is ridiculous, but it is also sinister, as he says, because they're doing it throughout history, all throughout our history, on the BBC children's programs, as he says here, where they claim that the Romans were black and that Hadrian's Wall was built by black Africans. I mean, black Africans are sub-Saharan Africans, and they couldn't get across the Sahara. North Africans were different. In history, as I say, North Africa, that is now Tunisia and Tunis, that was settled by the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians came from the area where Syria is now, and they were white. And they settled North Africa, and they went to war against the Romans, and you had the Punic Wars. The Romans quite clearly were white, and after they won the war against the Phoenicians, they took over North Africa. And North Africa was peopled by the Romans. And then in about 200-300 AD, Germanic tribes went and took over North Africa. You had the Vandals there and various other Germanic tribes. One of them came over to Britain, and he was referred to as the King of Africa. And these modern politically correct historians, they will try and claim that the King of Africa was black. He came from Africa. He must be black. No, North Africa was peopled by white people. This so-called King of Africa, he fought against the Saxons, defeated the Saxons, I think, went over into Ireland, defeated the Irish, and then went back into France and terrorized half of France. And it was a Germanic tribe, basically, but he was called the King of Africa. And people will look at that today and they'll say, oh, Africa, that means they must have been black. It's like the Roman Emperor Septimus Severus. He came from Africa. Yes, he came from North Africa, which was a Roman province at the time. That doesn't mean he was black. Sub-Saharans were black, and they're sub-Sahara, which means that they were below the Sahara. They couldn't get across the Sahara. That's why I say this mixing, the inbreeding, the mixing with blacks and Arabs and Moors, and that has only happened in fairly recent times, I think, because if you look at the paintings of the Moors at the time, you'll see that they're depicted as white. It's like Genghis Khan. He's depicted as white, and his descendants are depicted as white. They're not Mongolian. They're not Chinese. They are European looking, and that's our history. But they keep trying to change it and bring in all these other groups into it, and so they can turn history multicultural, just like they're trying to turn modernity multicultural. But I've gone on for quite a bit here, Grandpa, but I think you can see there that they were just trying to provide a bit of balance by having that activist there. So I can forgive them that, you know, because they have had this History Revealed fellow on as well, who has also hit them with quite a few facts there about what's going on here with this replacement of white people with black people. The blackwashing of history, I believe they call it. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this for today?
Well, it's not effective. It's an agenda. And here's the thing. Everybody knows what they're doing. You know, there's memes all over the internet, you know, about what Netflix does. They just change everybody into black characters. You know, people laugh about this because it's obvious what they're doing. And nobody's buying it. You know, so it can be tempting to get upset when you see stuff like this. And it is important to point out the truth. It's always the truth always has value. But I think it's also important to keep in mind, nobody believes this nonsense. This is the only people sitting around. I say nobody. The only people sitting here and applauding this and pretending it's real are people who already want to think this way. And I think it's a fairly small group of people. The media amplifies it so that you think there's a whole lot of people that, you know, think like this. But I think in reality, it's a very small group. And we know what they're doing. Everybody knows what this is. Like I say, it's a meme at this point. But they're not clever. The people that are promoting this, they're not clever. They can't think of anything else. So they just keep coming back and doing the same thing. Oh, well, this historical figure was actually a black, or actually a black woman, or whatever. They don't have anything new. They don't have any original ideas. Nobody's believing this. This book is not going to fly off the shelves, become a bestseller, and everybody's standing around talking about, wow, did you hear, you know, Shakespeare was actually this mythological black person, even though they don't look black in any of their portraits, but they totally were because this person says, no, nobody's buying this. It's just another attempt that's not doing anything. I mean, this isn't moving the needle. This isn't all they're doing. These people have these made up jobs in these institutions, these universities and such. their jobs are going to eventually be replaced by AI, you know, and then I have no idea what they're going to do for a living, but they're not effective. This isn't working. People just shrug it off. They already know what it is. And what they're actually doing is destroying the institutions. You know, the universities now, their credibility is gone in the tank. The media's credibility is gone in the tank. Netflix and the like, all of these television networks and streaming services that write these new shows and turn everybody into black characters because everybody knows what that is. That's not working. None of this is working, but they don't know what else to do. So they just keep, let's do it some more. It hasn't been working. If it worked, then they wouldn't need to do it anymore because everybody would be convinced. Well, it's obviously not working, but they don't have any original ideas. They don't have, they can't go back and say, okay, well, this isn't working. Let's try something. They don't. So they just keep doubling down of more of the same. So in other words, while it is important to sum it up, while it is important to point out the truth always matters. I don't think people should read this and get like super upset in the sense that, oh my gosh, people are going to read this book and they're going to believe. No, nobody believes this crap. You know, I mean, they don't. This is falling flat. They don't have any original ideas. They can't come back with anything new, a new approach where it'll get people to stop and think about things. So they just keep going back and doing the same thing. Well, let's turn this character black. You know, let's turn this character into a woman. Nobody's buying it, you know, so just let them flail around. That will continue to point out the truth. We'll continue to laugh at it, but that's what we're going to do. That's what everybody should do. You should laugh at it while these people simply flail around and attempt to do something that's obviously not working. And then you can chuckle to yourself and think, what are these university professors with these made up jobs going to do when their jobs eventually get replaced by AI? Because they obviously have no actual real marketable skills. See, it's always a glass half full thing, Sven. You got to be positive, all about the positivity. Got to be optimistic. Look at the bright side.
Yeah, I always do. Glass is always half full for me rather than half empty. And the more ludicrous these stories are, the better it is, because it just points out how silly these people are actually being in doing this. And it's quite ubiquitous. It's, as you say, it's everywhere. The blackwashing of history, black characters replacing white historical characters. I guess you could call that white face. And the more they do it, the more people wake up to what's going on and say, hang on, that's not quite right there. And also it gives you a chance to explain what the truth is to the next generation. I guess it's fine so long as people explain to their children that they're being lied to with children's BBC when it tells them that the Romans were black. And they say, well, actually, they weren't black. So long as you've got people that are still there speaking the truth, you know, it really doesn't matter what they do, because the truth conquers all. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.